up? It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Nate Collins. Nate is a financial advisor. He is a certified exit planning advisor. We had a great conversation that, of course, started with two truths and a lie. And then we got into the very surprising, concerning reality that 75% of business owners regret selling their business within a year after doing it. We talked about the reasons why that exists, the position that business owners find themselves in after selling it. And then most importantly, we talked about what the remedy, how to avoid, or at least position yourself to avoid having those feelings of regret, the conditions that must be present, the things you need to be thinking about and asking yourself in order to do that. And then we, of course, closed with a great difference-making tip. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Nate, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
Absolutely, George. I am so excited for this part. It's I've been looking forward to it all month. So I wrote them down just so you cannot like tell from my facial expressions. Okay. So number one, my purpose is to ensure that business owners are financially literate and prepared for the next chapter of life. Therefore, once a month, I participate in a financial literacy workshop for small business owners at my local public library.
Nice.
Two, community is my favorite word. I grew up with five other families on a hippie commune in Woodstock, New York, the Woodstock. Essentially, I have 12 parents and 8 siblings who I still see most holidays.
Outstanding. That sounds fun.
Third, I'm passionate about personal health. Last year, I participated in a 2-hour push-up challenge. I did 1,295 push-ups in those 2 hours.
How many?
1,295.
Couldn't get to 1,300, huh, Nate? 1,295 push-ups in 2 hours? That's amazing. I'm just wondering how many push-ups I could do in 2 hours, and is that outlandish, or is that pretty good? Wow. All right, well, what I know for sure is these are excellent and obviously well thought out. So congratulations. Thank you for putting in the effort. You're passionate about financial literacy and you deliver a workshop on a monthly basis at the public library. You grew up on a hippie commune at Woodstock where the original was. Wow. And then, of course, the personal health thing. Well, these are all highly believable in the small amount that I know you. So I am going to guess that that you don't like push-ups at all.
That's a good guess. However, that is a truth. So although I don't participate in financial literacy workshop at the public library, I wish I did. However, I do. My purpose is ensuring that business owners are financially literate.
Well, well done. You got me. I hope you're happy. Your planning all paid off. So tell me about this.
Community is my favorite word, and I am passionate about personal health. So there's elements of truth in all of those.
Right. Which is how you were able to throw me off the scent. Mm-hmm. So you grew up on a commune, or
I did. Yeah. So yes. The original Woodstock, New York, that's not really where the concert happened. The concert happened in Bethel, which was actually, you know, an hour and a half from Woodstock. But it's the one that everybody refers to. And that's the Woodstock. And we didn't have electricity or running water either. So it was very little house on the prairie, but in the mountains, not on a prairie.
And how many years were you without electricity and running water?
A decade.
Wow. So there's a whole podcast on that right there.
Yeah. We could get into that, you know.
For sure. Okay. And the push-ups. So that's 1,295 in 2 hours.
Sounds like a lot. And you know what? I recognize it is quite a bit. Not everybody can do that, but it's, if you actually do what you should be doing in life, pacing, you can do more than you think you can do, right? Mm-hmm. When you go out and run a marathon, you don't just start sprinting for the first mile, right? You kind of like, all right, well, let's just kind of ease into this because I know I have 26 miles to go. That's how I did it. I eased into it. I did five pushups every 30 seconds for about the first hour, and then five every 20 seconds for the second hour. Not quite that much, but I plan on doing it again this year at that same similar ratio and doing over 1500. But again, anybody can do more than they expect they can do. They just have to pace it.
Yeah. One of my favorite human beings, David Goggins, I forget what percentage he talks about, but obviously he runs. And he says, yeah, when you think that you don't have anything left, you still have a pretty good amount left. So,
yeah, I think his number is like, when you think you don't have anything left, you're only at 40% of your capacity, which sounds completely made up, but you know, so are 98.6% of all statistics.
That's exactly right. And if you say it like David Goggins says it, you can get away with pretty much anything.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I will look forward to hearing back as to whether or not you were able to eclipse 1,500 push-ups instead of that paltry 1,295, Nate.
So. Yeah, it's pretty embarrassing.
Totally embarrassed. You brought shame upon the entire community of how many?
Of 12 Woodstock,
moms,
New York.
12 parents and siblings or whatever. Well, I'm excited to get into everything with you. What's top of mind for you right now?
So last year I learned a statistic. It was a survey done by PwC, PricewaterhouseCoopers, and they found that 75% of business owners who sold their company regretted the transaction just 12 months later. So I learned that and I just thought, you know, this is supposed to be one of the most life-changing, profound, happiest moments of an entrepreneur's business career. And it turns out that they regret it. And that I thought, well, why did they regret it? And I looked into it more. And it turns out that there was a study done in South Africa that followed a number of CEOs. And after the CEOs transitioned out of that role, they went through what they called a liminal period. And this liminal period is a period marked with loss of identity, loss of direction, purpose. And the reason that it is so personal to me is because I sold my business in 2019. I was CEO of a business that I took over in 2011, built it up with a great team, and got very lucky in many ways, but made many mistakes along the way. But afterwards, I got stuck in this liminal period, and I didn't really anticipate being in this liminal period. And I'd have to say it was one of the most difficult challenges of my entire life. You know, you think that, you know, when you think of selling a business, a lot of people, the goal is to, or a lot of people would think maybe one of the major goals is financial freedom. Mm-hmm. And this sale of the business for me, it definitely provided financial freedom. It was exceptional. You know, I was looking forward to that financial freedom. I was really looking forward to time on the beach. I couldn't wait to go sit on the beach. You know, I thought, I'm going to sit on the beach for a month. This is going to be great. And just the ability to afford, you know, almost anything, and prestige. I was like, oh, people will revere me, which isn't necessarily the truth. They actually don't even know. But those things were in my mind. But it turns out that financial freedom really doesn't lead to personal fulfillment at all. You know, it, in fact, I felt more empty after selling my business. I felt worthless in a lot of ways, right? All of a sudden I was no longer important, right? Monday comes around. I didn't have anywhere to go. I didn't have any emails in my inbox. Nobody was calling me. Nobody was asking me for my opinion. You know, I couldn't boss anybody around. I didn't really boss people around, but you know, I loved my team. I loved that entire experience. And then it was just gone. It was gone. I was stuck in this liminal period for 3-4 years, and it really impacted my relationship, my relationships with friends, and more notably family. It put a lot of stress on me. I couldn't sleep, and my health suffered. So, that was all just very challenging. So, you know, this is, you might be out there thinking, oh boy, you've got it so bad. You know, you have all this money, but you're, but you're complaining, you know, you're about these things. But I'd say, you know, money is a lot like hair. You know, everybody wants more, but you can be perfectly happy with none. You know, I mean, you have to have some, like, you know, there's definitely a standard. And I have to tell you, it is great to have the ability to make choices because of having this financial freedom. But without having that identity, that direction, and that purpose, it's really hard. So, you know, then I was trying to really figure out, by the way, I was working at a hedge fund, you know, not long after I sold, maybe a year or two later. So it's not like I was not doing anything, and it wasn't like I wasn't making money. I had this great job at a hedge fund, but it wasn't fulfilling. And I went and visited my business coach, just an exceptional person. And he saw the challenges I was dealing with. And he said, you know, Nate, I'm going to tell you the secret recipe to personal well-being. And I leaned in like that, right? Like, I want to know the secret recipe to well-being.
Give me.
Can I patent this? And he says, it's really three things, right? It's identifying your purpose, building your community, and pursuing health, personal health, mental and physical health. Without those three things, you cannot have personal fulfillment. You cannot have personal well-being. And so going back to my my two truths and a lie, right? My purpose is to ensure that business owners are financially literate. My community, that was my community, but community is my favorite word, and I'm passionate about personal health. But, you know, when he told me that, I spent several months like really kind of looking at what I was doing and trying to understand if the goals that I'd set for myself were aligned with the goals of personal well-being. Were they aligned with purpose, community, personal health? And they weren't. They weren't that far off, but they weren't focused on that. So I really spent some time to narrow it down to three primary goals. My purpose, right? My purpose is to share my knowledge with others, right? And ensure that entrepreneurs and executives are financially literate and prepared for their next chapter of life. My community, my goal was to be a role model for my children. And I have two children, 5 and 3. So I have a lot of work to do. My mental health, I really need to kind of fix that because that was really suffering. And that was suffering because I didn't have purpose. So my mental health goal was to find a career that supported my mental health, or to support my purpose, find a career that supported my purpose of sharing my experiences with others and ensuring that business owners are financially literate. And that's how I became a financial advisor. You know, it's not just a career for me. It's my purpose. It's my community. It's my mental health. It's my well-being.
I think that that is powerful and thoughtful. So good on you for asking, and good on your coach for helping you to put those together. And then, and now you've executed. Prior to that conversation, how fit were you? Like, could you do the push-ups, or is this a new thing?
No, I was, you know, this has always been a lifelong thing. Physically, I was fit. You know, I still, at that time, I was doing a lot of running, and I still would run a lot. And I'd say during that period, that was really the only thing that I could control, and that kept me grounded. Right.
Yeah.
And it probably saved me from a lot of fights with my wife because I was able to release that energy and I felt in control of something. So that was not the challenge. The challenge was really the mental health.
Yeah.
And that's probably why 75% of business owners regret selling their business just a year later. It's because they're having those same issues.
It's so many. I mean, that 75% number, I totally believe it. And it's aligned with what we're talking about with the Goggins thing and the made up statistics. But yeah, there's so many different reasons that a business owner, I'm sure, gives. And you've outlined a lot of them. They feel stuck in that liminal space. So how are you helping people to avoid that and to bring that number way down?
Yeah. Great. So it's really about sharing this story, giving them the secret recipe, which is clearly no longer a secret, and helping them work through that. I think that it's just important to identify which of the goals that you're pursuing are aligned with that well-being, right? We all have all these things that we're doing every day, but are they actually moving you towards personal well-being?
Hmm.
Right. It's very easy to get caught up in other things, and it's very easy to get caught up in your business, especially if you're a business owner, right? You're not thinking about this You're like, oh, I'm going to sell my business in 20 years. So I'm going to put well-being to the side. I'm just, you know, I'm going to work 23 hours a day. My children will be thankful when I give them a trust account when they're, you know, when they're 35. And that's not good for them. It's not good for you. So really kind of understanding those goals is important, and to pursue that well-being today.
We've been told that multitasking is not all that it's cracked up to be. Whether it's a fiction or not, I don't know, and that's probably a very subjective thing, that you're potentially capable of doing more things at once than I am. But I think that sometimes, and perhaps that's what we're talking about, is this is not you foregoing your business success by paying attention to these other things. It's possible to do multiple things at the same time and not completely dilute the success of your business, that you're focused on your mental well-being, your physical well-being while you're building your business and not waiting until you're done with your business. That's prudent.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is really the key issue I want everybody to walk away with. And that is, if you pursue well-being now, as you're building your business, as you're running your business, you will have a more successful business. There was a Dutch study that found that entrepreneurs who identified as, you know, high in personal well-being, had more successful companies. So there was a direct correlation between personal well-being and successful companies. And the personal well-being had a greater effect on the success of the company rather than vice versa. right? So if you want a successful company, pursue well-being, because not only will you will the value of your business go up, but you will be happier running it. You will be a, and that totally makes sense, right? Nobody wants to work for somebody who is, you know, depressed and going through mental issues. It just, there's a Hungarian saying that it's, well, I think it's Hungarian because a Hungarian told me this, that the fish stinks from the head down, you know? So if you are the head of that fish, if you are the head of that organization, you need to be on your A game. And the only way to be on your A game is to actually have personal well-being. You should be pursuing your passions, building your community, and focused on personal health. And when I say community and your passions or your purpose, it can be your, it can be inside your business, but there should also be something, there should be more. There should be some outside of your business too, because there is a day that you're going to walk away from that business. And in order to transition smoothly into the next chapter, it's a really good idea to have other passions, to have community outside of your business.
Which makes all the sense in the world, right? It's like if you wanted to get into a new market, you want to start laying the groundwork or whatever. You know, you have a new offering for your company or a new product. You don't just all of a sudden flip the switch. There's so much work that goes into laying the foundation and getting the conditions proper to have the thing flourish. So why wouldn't we think about that for our for ourselves and our own lives?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that it's interesting to me. I reflect upon running a business, and I spent so much time with our team developing, you know, 5-year goals, 3-year goals, 1-year goals, having KPIs. How come I never did that personally? You know, right. Why do we, I spent so much time optimizing the value of my business. And I mean, our exit was tremendous. And a lot of it was because we ran a really tight business. We made it very, very valuable to a buyer. But I didn't optimize my personal finances. I was ignorantly arrogant about my ability to run my own personal finances. I'd started my career in finance on the institutional side. I thought I could manage my own money, and I really didn't know what I didn't know. And obviously nobody knows what they don't know. But there's a lot out there, and I thought I knew it. And my biggest mistake was that, I didn't talk to advisors, or maybe I did and I didn't listen to them. Maybe they talked to me and I just wasn't ready to hear them. But, you know, the best thing that anybody can do, any business owner, any professional, anybody seeking advice is to go out, or anybody who's just trying to be better is to go out and talk to people who know more about the subject than you do.
Amen. Well, Nate, you've already given us a lot, but we're ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
Great. So I really want to go back to what I said earlier, which is if you want a more successful company, pursue personal well-being today. Again, you will, if you pursue personal well-being, if you are mentally strong, if you are happy, if you are content, you will run a more profitable company, and you'll have a better time doing it.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on. Hey, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
Yeah, well, so I do a quarterly webinar on business exit planning. It's a workshop. My next one is coming up on November 5th. And the best way to find it is you can just Google Nate Collins at Raymond James. I'm on the Founders Wealth Strategies team. Or you can look me up in LinkedIn, Nate Collins at Raymond James. Or go ahead and email me at Nate jeff.collins@raymondjames.com.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Nate your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to, or just throw into your favorite search engine, Nate Collins, Raymond James, and get signed up for that quarterly workshop, which is coming up November 5th, but obviously it repeats on a quarterly basis. So jump in on one of those and just get the conversation started between your own ears and start thinking about this stuff, because that is the starting point for all of this. When the student is ready, Nate, the teacher appears. So,
so true.
Thank you again.
Thanks, George.
Finally, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.